Michael, thank you very much indeed. Well, it's the time of year when spirits fill the air and ghouls, ghosts and witches roam the country freely, even if they do happen to be the kids from down the road. But how many of you would be brave enough to chance an encounter with a real spirit from the other side? Well, Loftus Hall on Hook Head in County Wexford has been saved from ruin by a local man who's opened the 14th century dwelling to the public for the first time in many years. This is despite the fact that rumours abound locally about some blood-curdling happenings within. So, would you spend a night in the creaky old hall of a house like this? Well, our Brian O'Connell did just that, and he has lived to tell the tale. I'm very, very glad that you're still with us, Brian. Good morning to you.
Morning, Miles.
Tell us about Loftus Hall.
Well, as you said, it was built on the site probably of a 14th century house called Redmond Hall, and it has something of a very volatile past, Cromwellian attacks. And if you look back over history, I think even up to the 20th century, a lot of people associated with the house haven't had a whole lot of luck. For much of the 20th century, I suppose the people who spent the most amount of time there were nuns, and they used the house as a retreat. So it has this curious mix of pagan folklore and religious iconography still present in the house, which, you know, adds to the eerie effect. It was a hotel for a while, and then it lay derelict for many years. And as you said, a local man, Aidan Quigley, he's bought the house now. He's secured the foundations and the roof, and he hopes to begin turning the fortunes of the house around. So the rooms aren't ready to stay in. I'm not sure if they will be for quite a few years. Many of them will have windows missing. And I think the most well-known stories really revolve around the time when the Tottenham family lived in the house, and that was in the 18th century. There were three main protagonists, Miles: the daughter, Anne Tottenham, a local priest, Father Thomas Brodders, and another mysterious person. Now, before we get into that, I went on the first public tour of the house last week, so I think we can hear a little bit of that now, and then I'll get into the spooky bits after.
Anyone at any stage gets afraid, wants to leave, just go to the foot of the stairs. Someone will meet you there. One of us or someone else.
You understand?
We'll do a head count just to see how many are here and make sure we come out with the same amount. Or not one extra. We did that before. 16? Sure of that? All right, everyone. If you can just... You have to walk in through a very significant doorway here. This is what we call the portal of Loftus Hall. This doorway dates from 1751. Don't mind that. That's, you know, you'll hear that every now and again. This is the same doorway that Father Tom Brodders walked through to perform the exorcism on this house. It's also the same doorway that Anne Tottenham's body was carried out through. And it's also the same doorway that a certain dark stranger called her one night.
So the story goes, Miles, that on a very stormy night, a ship got moored on the peninsula. And it's the same peninsula, really, which has seen lots of bloodshed over the centuries. And the family at the time were entertaining guests. A young stranger approached the door that we just heard about in the clip. He was invited in and he promptly joined in a game of cards, which the family, including Anne, were playing. Now, when Anne bent down to pick a card that had been dropped on the ground, she let out a scream because she saw a hoof underneath the man. The man disappeared through the roof, and Anne later lived out the rest of her days in the tapestry room, which is, and she said she was buried sort of in a sitting position in which she had died. So there were lots of reputed sightings in the house, and local priest Father Thomas Brodders, he was brought in towards the late 1800s to perform an exorcism. And actually, on his headstone in Horetown Cemetery today, the inscription reads, "Here lies the body of Thomas Brodders, who did good and prayed for all and banished the devil from Loftus Hall."
Right, so knowing all of this, you still decided to spend the night there, Brian. Are you superstitious?
I'm not particularly, but I think, I suppose you can't but inherit some level of superstition living in Ireland. I mean, I remember being warned about going near fairy folks as a child and that kind of a thing. I think I was more worried about catching a cold, really, than meeting a ghost, to be honest. And one ex-girlfriend of mine on Facebook said, you know, it's the spirits who had to spend the night with me that she felt sorry for.
Oh dear.
I know. So I didn't know a whole lot about the backstory, to be honest, Miles. I mean, I knew everybody knew the story about the devil, and I did get a bit worried in the days leading up to it last week when they were finding it really, really hard to get anybody else to stay the night. Eventually, they rounded up three other people. Aidan, the owner, he's been spending nights there over the last few months on his own, just with the company of a German shepherd dog. And we can hear a little bit about his experiences, and he's not exactly putting me at ease.
Lots of experiences. The only thing I can say about this house is there is definite energy in the house. I think that converts back. People will say, are you afraid? I don't think I've ever been afraid in the house. I think basically whatever you bring into the house, it'll throw it back at you. So if you're bad, beware in this place. It's a feeling. It's you know as soon as you walk into the house, and almost anyone who's visited the house would say they've got a feeling of sorts. They've got some, just basically a feeling when they've walked into the house, whether it be good or bad. Some people actually won't walk into the house. They'll get as far as the door, and whether it's their own mind plays tricks or they just do not want to enter a Loftus Hall.
Because I heard you saying earlier that you had some electricians working here, but it's hard to get them to work late at night.
Yeah, we have a problem. There's nobody looking for overtime in Loftus Hall. And once it gets dark, the guys are gone. There's a lot of love for the house locally, but there's a lot of respect of what the house stands for, the history of the house, and what may or may not be still present in the house.
So, jeez, I'm sleeping with the German Shepherd anyway.
Yes, well, I should explain to you, it was only afterwards when I had bought the German Shepherd. Obviously, she's a fully grown dog and I wasn't going to rename her. I asked the guy who I bought her from what was the dog's name. And a peculiar name, he said the dog's name is Mila. And I couldn't understand why someone would call the dog Mila. So I Googled it just out of curiosity when I got home. And it actually... The spelling of it was a Norwegian name and it translated into the Slayer of Satan.
Oh, jeez, you're giving me the shivers now. You're not serious. Is that for the brochure now, or no, is that actually real?
That's real. That's real. That's just another little piece of Loftus Hall, the jigsaw that is.
Now, you asked two locals whom you met at the house, yeah. Brian, would they be on for staying the night? And this is what they had to say.
It's the sort of place, even when the hotel, it was in a hotel status, you wouldn't actually sleep here for a night. I'll put it that way to you.
I have to sleep here later now, you're giving me great confidence.
You're going to sleep here later? I wouldn't, truthfully. I live in the area, I'm born and reared in the area. I would not sleep here for a night, no way would I.
Why not?
There is something very eerie about the place, especially when things get very quiet in the place. I don't know if you've ever walked around this place on your own. You wouldn't do it too often. You wouldn't.
Would you stay the night here now?
Oh, I'd love to stay. Always wanted to stay the night in Loftus Hall. Like.
And you don't mind about the stories of the ghosts? And...
I know, the living are worse. We'd love to meet Anne. We deal with her too, like...
Why do you think this house has so many stories associated with it?
I suppose when you look around and see the peninsula, there's nothing on it. And this gigantic monstrosity of a house is standing out in the middle of nowhere against all time, against tide and all the animals. Just as unique in the size of it here, where trees don't even grow, like, to see it here and the condition it is in today. I don't know. There's something unique about it. If we could only be back where Father Brothers was, and had a little bit of what he had to see. Hindsight is great, like.
And do you believe in those stories?
Actually, we have to believe in stories, don't we? That's what keeps us all alive. If you haven't a story, there's nothing. And that's what it's all about.
And I suppose, Miles, really, many of these stories had to do with a time when probably mental health diagnosis wasn't as well defined as today. It's a very large house, something like 22 rooms, I think, right on the coastline, no protection from trees, so it can be quite noisy at night. You'll hear some of in the next few recordings, some of the noises we heard at night. So staying with me were Seamus and Joe, the two local men, and also Beth Marie, and she works in the Brandon House Hotel. We got out the inflatable mattresses and we decided we'd sleep at the foot of the main staircase. It's just beside the tapestry room where Anne spent her last days, and it's not far from the room where the card game took place on that night. The only thing then, Miles, between me and the other world was an Aldi sleeping bag. And the others had gotten fairly well acquainted with spirits before they go into bed, mostly whiskey. And look, I was pretty freaked out, I have to say, especially walking the corridors on your own. I mean, there is a bit of an eerie feeling about the place. And here we can hear from Bette Marie now, right just before we bunk down for the night.
Hello?
So you're going to spend the night with us here?
I am. As long as everybody protects me, I'm a little bit scared. Probably one of the first myths I heard, or stories, I wouldn't call it a myth, or stories I heard was about Loftus Hall. And so, like so many other people in the area, whether you're a blow-in or not, I've had a fascination with Loftus Hall almost from the moment I moved to Wexford. And when you're actually in here, there is something really mystical about it. I don't know so much about the ghosts. I think the ghosts have been laid to rest. It's actually just the tangibility of the past that I think is going to be a little bit scary.
Are you a superstitious person?
No, I'm just scared.
So that's Bette-Marie, and she didn't exactly reassure me. The two others who we'd convinced to stay were Seamus and Joe, both fairly hardy men now, and that gave me a little bit of comfort. So I had a quick chat with Joe before bed.
I had a bit of reservations, like, say, thinking about, like, I didn't get much sleep now last night, like, you know what I mean? Thinking about, like, say, staying here tonight, you know what I mean?
Oh, go ahead. And would you be a superstitious man?
Yeah, I would.
In what way?
Well, I had the rosary beads in my pocket.
Give us a look, do you?
I have the medal from Medjugorje that I had for the last 25 or 30 years in my wallet. I'm not over religious, like, or any of that, like, but, like, everybody is superstitious of something, like, you know what I mean? Like, if it's not even superstitious, like, it's just something that's in your brain or something that you're... And actually, I would love to see some sort of ghostly thing, like, you know what I mean?
Would you?
Yeah.
Why?
I just would, like, you know what I mean? Like, say, I've seen ghostly things in my time.
Like what?
I've seen people say they have died, like, they have come back. Won't say come back, like, but, like, you'll see your own generation or whatever, like, you know what I mean? In whether it's in your mind or whether it's at the end of your bed.
And can you remember an occasion when it happened, was it?
No. Yeah. You'll have your own memories, like, you know what I mean, of your own people, like, say, that will be either there or whatever, like, you know what I mean?
But you wouldn't be frightened by it?
No.
So if you saw an old ghost tonight now wandering into
the room? I'd be delighted.
Yeah? I'd be delighted. That is the God man's truth.
I think the ghost would be more frightened than Joe.
What's that?
I think the ghost would be more frightened than Joe.
I'm just wondering about the RTE workplace insurance policy, Brian. Does it cover this sort of thing? Anyway, so you all went to sleep in the main hallway. Did anything go bump in the night?
Well, let's keep it clean, Miles. I have to say I slept pretty well. I had a hat pulled down over my eyes, so if something did appear, I was pretty determined that I wouldn't see it and it wouldn't see me. about half four in the morning, I started hearing footsteps upstairs. We were at the bottom of the main staircase, which is a beautiful staircase. I think it took 9 years to make and 2 years to install. So I could hear these footsteps and doors banging. And there was that moment where I thought, oh, Christ, here we go. And I really needed to go to the loo at that point. And I thought to myself, there's absolutely no way in the world I'm leaving here and walking down the corridor on my own. I could see that Joe was missing beside me. So I kind of assumed that it was him acting the Egypt upstairs, or else he'd been taken as a sacrifice to Anne, the ghost of Loftus Hall. And I reckoned, you know, well, he had the rosary beads, so he'd be grand, you know, we could sacrifice one. So here we all are. It was about 7 a.m. when we woke up, and I quickly asked each person for their reaction, and you'll hear some of the noises again at the start. I'll ask you how you slept. How did you sleep, Joe?
Brilliant. Had a lovely night's sleep. Not a bother.
No worries.
No worries at all, no. Everything's cosy. Little bit of a draft, that was it. Didn't mind.
What about you, Seamus? Did anyone try and hop into the sleeping bag beside you?
It was all a dream.
And Bethan, you were saying you're sleeping beside the tapestry room here, so...
I did wake up once or twice and nervously look at the tapestry room, but I am happy to report she didn't come out now.
And do you think that the apparitions over the years had more to do with the cold than they did somebody actually appearing?
Well, if you're going to measure it by my nose this morning, I might say yes. But no, there's definitely something. There's definitely something in this house that makes it just that little bit different, I think.
And the fact that you've stayed here now a night.
Well, I can tick that off my to-do list. If ever I had a bucket list that had to include haunted houses, I can safely say I've done it. It's not something I would like to repeat on a daily basis, that's for sure.
And what about when Joe was rambling off wandering there this morning? I let out a scream for him. How did that impact on you?
When I did hear him kind of, so I assumed it was set up, which was fine and very comforting. And then when all of a sudden he flashed the light on me and threw something at me, I think the desired reaction, let off a scream, was gotten anyway. So, I screamed.
Okay, so the good news is you counted them all out and you counted them all back. Four went in, four came out, including yourself. What's the plan for the house now, Brian?
Well, would you believe they're actually starting to do some weddings in association with the Brandon House Hotel.
That's a great way to start your married life.
Where nightmares begin, exactly, yeah. And you can also walk around the grounds or take a tour of the house. So they are organising tours every week. There's huge interest in it locally, but as well, I think a lot of people who would have gone on holidays in the area will have noticed this house. It's very stark. So you'd have to take your hat off to Aidan, the owner, who's put a lot of money into it, and he was literally showing me the inside of the roof, which was just about to fall down before he got to it. But like I said, very few owners have had much luck with the house. It's broken many people, so hopefully he will be the exception. I mean, they could probably do with an old dancing statue like Balan Spittle to give it a bit of a push.
Nice. And tours at Loftus Hall are now bookable at loftushall.com. Also, for further details, visit wexford.ie. And weddings can be booked through the Brandon House Hotel, I'm sure. Bookings will soar for Halloween 2013, Brian, on the strength of your report. Thank you very much indeed. For joining us. Janet in Dublin says the Devil's Card game didn't take place in the current Loftus Hall, but in an older demolished house. That's just an inconvenient fact which gets in the way of our enjoyment of the notion of Loftus Hall being haunted. Tara in Dublin 8 saw a documentary about the haunted dungeons in Edinburgh once. The scientific explanation is magnetic fields that make you feel uneasy and cause your eyeballs to vibrate ever so slightly, which makes you think you've seen movements in the shadows. That said, I'm not in any rush to spend the night there, Tara. Very, very wise indeed.